Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I gotta say, the last time I was this nervous was when I was 7 years old. Preached my first time. So just bear with me here. In Luke chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham." Let's pray one more time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in church tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd calm my nerves. Lord, I pray that you'd help the Word of God to speak. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would be evident here. Lord, I pray that you would get the glory, not me. I pray that everything I say would be of you. Help me not to be a hindrance tonight. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage and this story that we're in tonight is probably one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible. All these little kids here, this is one of their first Sunday school lessons, Zacchaeus, the little wee little man who climbed a tree and saw Jesus. And this is going to be a really simple sermon, but I hope I pray and hope it's a blessing to you. And in verses 1 through 9, we see the salvation of Zacchaeus. And this is a story of Zacchaeus getting saved. And in verse 1 it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Now, if you know much about Jericho, you can go back to Joshua 6 to read of the destruction of Jericho. And the destruction of Jericho is with the children of Israel commanded to march around the walls of Jericho one time each day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, march around the walls 7 times. And we know the story very well. The walls come crumbling down. The only person saved is Rahab the harlot. But at the ending of Joshua 6, you can read what God says to the Israelites. And God tells them that whoever builds back up Jericho is cursed. And in here, in our context here, Jesus is on his way to the cross. And he is now going to be crucified on the cross. And he comes to this specific city, Jericho. This place does not deserve mention of Jesus. This place is cursed by God. And in verse 2, we find the person that Jesus speaks to, and it's Zacchaeus. And there's three things that describe Zacchaeus. It says, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. We find his livelihood there. This man's a publican. He is a licensed extortioner. He can take anything he wants from you. These people hated him. Here he is. He is a sinner. And we also see his lifestyle. It says, and he was rich. This man lives a luxurious lifestyle. Why does he need Jesus? He does not need Jesus compared to the world. This man is rich. He's got a perfect job. He can get anything he wants through his job. Literally anything he wants. He's got all the money in the world. He does not need Jesus. He needs nothing. And we also see his little stature. It says in verse 3 at the very end, it says, because he was little of stature. It says, and could not for the press because he was a little sick. He could not see above everybody. So here he is, and he comes to Jericho, and he's in the middle of the crowd, okay? And he's short, and he can't see above anybody. And so you can see all these people just walking around, walking in different directions, and he doesn't know where he's going. He's just going, okay, well, I've got to follow. No, he's not going there. So he's just looking, trying to find a way to see Jesus. He's curious. It says, and he sought to see who Jesus was. He didn't need Jesus. He didn't think he needed Jesus, but he just wanted to know who Jesus was. He just wanted to see Jesus. And when we get here, here he is in this crowd, and he can't see. So he sees a sycamore tree. And I don't know much about sycamore trees, but I know that a tree is a tree. He gets up in this tree and he climbs a tree just to see Jesus. This man is very curious. He wants to see Jesus. And the story gives a perfect picture of salvation. Let me show you how. In verse 2, we see that he is a sinner. This man, he doesn't know it, but he needs Jesus. In everything, he needs Jesus. There is no longing. There is no true desire. There is no joy and peace through his life that he's living. His livelihood's perfect, but he's not living for Christ. And his lifestyle's perfect, but he's not living for Christ, which makes him in need of Jesus. And in verse 7, we can see that the hypocrites thought that this man was a sinner. So he was a heathen. And we see in verse 3, Zacchaeus anxiously wants to see Jesus. He obviously wants to see Jesus so bad that he's willing to not care about what everybody says and to climb a tree. You see, he had a burden to see Jesus. And salvation starts with a burden. If you're here today and you're lost, you'll never be saved until you want to be saved. You have to want Christ. You have to need Christ before you accept Him. Zacchaeus also, in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You can see that Jesus comes. And so Zacchaeus is up in this tree. And now he can see Jesus. Here comes the Savior. He walks through. And up until this point, he hasn't said nothing in Jericho. He has not spoken. So he gets to the tree and he looks up in the tree and says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at the house." So Zacchaeus, I can see it. I can see it now. There's all kinds of mumbling and murmuring within the crowd. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people here. And all of a sudden, when Jesus speaks and stops, it's just a hush. It's just quiet. And he speaks to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in the tree. And see, it was humbling to get up in the tree, but nobody was watching. Nobody really cared. And now he's up in the tree and he's looking down. And he could have said, "Lord, just go." He could have just told the Lord, "Just go." And you see here that the Lord has to make the request. So you're not going to get saved unless the Lord comes to you. You can't go find the Savior because there's nothing you can do on your merit to find Christ. Christ has to come by your way. And here Zacchaeus could have said, "No thanks." And if you're lost here today and you refuse Him again, it could be the last time He comes to you. It could be the last time He offers this free gift of salvation. You better accept it while you can. But Zacchaeus here in this story says, okay, and he obeys Christ perfectly. He makes haste and he comes down and receives Him joyfully. And when you get saved, that's what you do. You obey Christ and you do what He said. You have faith in Christ and you make Him Lord of your life. And in verse 8, we find what else he did. He repented of his sins. It says in the second half, the verse says, "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." See, repentance is not sorrow. See, here he is. He's sitting down. He stands up. He says, "Behold, Lord." And see, there you go. You can tell that he's made Christ Lord. He's never said Lord up until then. And he makes Jesus Lord of his life. And he stands up and he says, "Lord, I'm going to change my ways." That's what repentance is. When you get saved, you change from your ways. You don't just say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and you go right back to Him. Zacchaeus goes from here to here. He gives the Lord his lifestyle. He gives the Lord his livelihood and says, "Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to obey Your commands." That's what we see in salvation. And if you're lost, you can follow Zacchaeus' example and get saved by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, not only is this story a great story of salvation, but it's a great picture, and we can find some requirements to having a better relationship with Christ. And as a Christian, I was reading this in last week and this week, and the Lord just showed me some things that I needed to do, and I needed to get right and needed to fix before I could even preach this. But He really showed me how to have a better relationship with Him. Let's look at it here in verse 3, and it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." First, it starts with a burden. As a Christian, you'll never have a better relationship with Christ unless you have a burden. Let me ask you, do you have a burden to have a better relationship with Him? Are you satisfied with what you've done and what you're doing for Christ? Are you satisfied with the way you're living for Him? In everything that you do, are you satisfied with what you do? See, it starts with a desire. It all starts with a desire. And see, secondly, it takes humility. And this is what the Lord really convicted me about. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. See, Zacchaeus was willing to go to the very extremes just to see Jesus. And see, when you humble yourself, when you have a desire, your desire must lead somewhere. Your desire has to lead to something. And Zacchaeus' desire led him to get up on the tree and to humble himself. And see, if you're going to have a better relationship with Christ, it takes humility. You'll never get anywhere with Christ unless you put Him as a priority in their life. When yourself is the priority in life and you care about yourself more, you'll never have a good relationship with Christ. And see, in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And in our passage, Zacchaeus just wanted to see Him. But Jesus came by and He exceeded those expectations. When you humble yourself, Jesus can do that. When you humble yourselves and you put yourself in a position where the Lord can use you, and you put yourself in a position where the Lord can get glory out of everything that He does in your life, then He'll come commune with you. He'll come talk to you. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you humble? Have you put Christ first? Have you done what you should do? Do you have a desire to be humble? See, in this passage, Zacchaeus doesn't speak until verse 8. And see, he goes through a lot of stuff. He climbs the tree, and I'm sure somebody asked him, what are you doing? Why are you climbing the tree? It's not recorded. He doesn't speak. In verse 7, it says, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. So here's Zacchaeus, and he's walking, and I'm sure he heard them. I mean, they're all talking, they're mumbling within themselves, they're murmuring, but the word must have got around him. Why is he going with you? And Zacchaeus still doesn't talk because he knows how unworthy he is. He knows their accusations are true. Let me ask you, are you worthy to commune with Jesus? Are you worthy to host Jesus? See, Zacchaeus wasn't, but he still did. And the Lord can come by your way, but you just have to be humble. You have to humble yourselves. And the third thing it takes is obedience. In verse 6, it says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. See, obedience is Christianity. You can't have Christianity without obedience. The first thing you do after you get saved is get baptized, which is a step of obedience. When you obey Christ, you give Him glory. And when you obey Christ, you're doing what He says, so that now He can come and talk to you. He can have a relationship with you. And see, do you really want a better relationship with Him? Because a desire will lead to humility, and humility will always lead to obedience. Because you're not going to obey somebody that's below you. That's like my little brother telling me to do something. I'm not going to do that because he is under me. Okay? Why would I obey him? So you only obey somebody who you think is better than you. And when you're humble, the more humble you get, the lower you get, the more you'll do for Christ, and the more you'll obey him. Because that's where Christ wants you, is to obey him. And see, in the Bible, we have so many commands. Love God, love thy neighbor, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. There's just so much things. Don't covet. And we get to the point where we think, well, this is impossible. I don't even need to try. This is retarded. But we still need to try and obey Him for the sake of our relationship with Him. Because once you're saved, you have a relationship with Him. And you can keep getting better in that. You can get closer to Him. It starts with a desire. It goes to humility, it goes to obedience. And the last thing I see is it takes sacrifice. And this takes obedience to the next step. In Hebrews 11, we read of Abraham. And then in James 2, it talks about Abraham. It says that he was called a friend of God. Why was he called a friend of God? Because he was obedient. And he made a sacrifice. He sacrificed his son. But God said, it's fine, and I've got the land. And so, Abraham is considered a friend of God because of his obedience and his sacrifice. So when you obey Christ, you can get closer to Christ because He's higher than you. And when you sacrifice, you can get closer to God too. Now, why do we need to sacrifice? Sacrifice is only for those that are in foreign fields that are being persecuted. But in verse 2, we read, it says, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Here's Zacchaeus, and he's communing with Jesus. He's had a desire, and he's had the humility, and he's obeyed Christ. And so now he's already talking with Jesus. He's already communing with Jesus. But he's going to take this a step farther. And the sacrifice here is something that he feels could, in the future, hinder his relationship with Christ. And see, he's rich in his livelihood seemed happy. It gave him happiness. It gave him happiness for a little while, and his lifestyle certainly gave him happiness. Here he is, he can have anything he wants. But when he sits down with Jesus, he gets real joy and real peace. And his desires have been fulfilled. And so he decides that he's going to stand up and make a sacrifice. And here's what a sacrifice is. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Here he goes, and he makes the decision that anything in my life that could hinder my relationship with Christ, I'm going to get it out. And the money he made, he says, you know what? I'm going to give it to Christ. I'm going to give it to the poor, and then if I owe anything to anybody, then I'm going to give it to them. He's basically saying, Lord, my life is yours now. I'm going to follow you, and anything in my life that could potentially hinder my relationship with you. And you tell me, I'm going to get it out. And even if you don't tell me and I feel it could hinder my relationship, I'm going to get it out. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that could hinder your relationship with Him? Is there anything in your life that's not bad? And it's not something that's wrong in your life, but it's something that you could certainly do without. And it's not right. And maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't even spoken to you about it. But is there anything that you could give up for the sake of your relationship with Christ? And see, this is what also the Lord dealt with me about. And I have had to get a lot of things right here. Because I want a true relationship with Christ. I want a true and sincere relationship with Him. I want to know Christ better than I do now. And see, when you have that desire, you'll humble yourself. And you'll get low so you can obey Christ. And when you're obeying Christ, you'll see something in your life that could potentially hinder your relationship with Him. And you'll get it out of your life. Is there anything in your life tonight that you can out? And to the lost here, have you rejected Jesus again? Jesus has made His plea. Have you rejected Him again? Are you going to walk out of here and say, Lord, I don't need You. My lifestyle's good. My livelihood is good. I don't need You. Or will you accept Jesus? And will you accept the true lifestyle and livelihood that you need to live with? Serving Jesus. Having a relationship with Him. That's the best livelihood I could ever have. And I beg of you to accept Him. And to the saved person here, do you have a burden? Are you actually satisfied with where you're at with Him? Do you feel that you've done everything that you can do to have a great relationship with Him? Has your burden led to humility? Are you humbling yourself? Are you trying to find ways that you can lift Him up and not yourself? Are you obeying Him? Is there something in your life that you could give up? Is there something in your life that the Holy Spirit has just simply nudged you? He just nudged your heart about it, and you can give it up. Now, it's not something you have to live with, and you can just give it up for the sake of your relationship with Christ. Then it all starts with the burden, because if you're going to give up something, it's going to start with that burden. You have to want to have a relationship with Him. And the message tonight is seeking Jesus. Are you seeking Him? Do you really want a relationship with Him? I know I do. And see, in verse 9, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." Here Zacchaeus, this chief of publicans, a rich man, a short man, and a sinner, is mentioned with Abraham. Abraham's mentioned as his friend of God, and here Zacchaeus is considered a son of Zacchaeus is considered a son of Abraham. Do you want a relationship with him? You might.
Let's stand together. Thank you, Brother Jacob, for the message.